Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and with me this afternoon, Yvette Marquez-Sharpnack. She's out of Colorado, and Vanji, her mother, is here in El Paso, both on the telephone, and we're talking about their new book, a beautiful cookbook that's been in the plan for a couple of years called Muy Bueno. Ladies, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much, Dennis.
You're quite welcome. You celebrated during the Thanksgiving holiday. I got a chance to see the story, actually, on one of the news stations. I was so excited to see that the book came to fruition. Talk a little bit about the excitement coming into that whole thing.
It's been 2 years in the making, and it's gone by quick, but at the same time, it's taken a really long time. It was a lot of work, but it's a labor of love, and we're happy that it's finally here and in printed format. So we officially released October 1st, and it's been very well received.
You had one book signing here in El Paso in November, again during the Thanksgiving holiday over at Barnes & Noble, but you have another one coming up here shortly.
We do. We did have one at Barnes & Noble, and it was great. It was like a family and friend reunion. We had so much support from El Paso, from people who know us, and also from people who read our article that was put in the El Paso Times. And now we're going to have another book signing with El Paso author Sergio Troncoso over at the bookery on Socorro Road. And that's going to be December 22nd from 2 to 4.
The bookery is in San Eli or Socorro?
Socorro.
In Socorro? Okay. Mm-hmm. When you get ready for these book signings, one of the things that I've always seen with book authors is that there's always that beautiful anticipation of meeting new people and introducing recipes. When you went to Barnes & Noble, tell me a little bit about the crowd waiting for you.
We are running late, as we sometimes do. And I think, being close to the holidays, a lot of people were shopping, right around Thanksgiving. And so it was a busy day just in the parking lot alone. And so once we got there, we were just so excited that there was already people sitting down waiting for us. And so it was just so fun to see, like I said, so many people that have been supporting us since we first started this, and meeting new people that either have been following us on Facebook or on our blog or just found us because of the article on the El Paso Times. So it was really exciting.
Talk to us a little bit about the weeding out of all of those great recipes, that literally hundreds of recipes, in order to put together this cookbook that really does, I think, exemplifies family and home cooking.
Well, the book is basically, the premise is three generations of Mexican recipes, of recipes from our grandmother, who is from Chihuahua, Mexico. And the second generation are recipes from our mom, Vanji, and who was born and raised in El Paso, Texas. And the third generation are recipes from my sister and I, and they're more modern, light, and just fun for entertaining. So that's kind of how we split the book. We wanted to make sure that we had a few of each in the cookbook, and so we definitely wanted to make sure to save our book for all the best recipes, for all the recipes that we grew up eating. And so the book itself is more than a cookbook. It's a storybook and just a family history of, our journey and how our grandmother made it to Texas and the history with our family and just the memories that we have with every dish. So it's little over 100 recipes, and like I said, they're kind of balanced between the old world and the south of the border style, mm-hmm. and our modern fusion recipes.
Vanji, when your mom was creating in the kitchen, and you got a chance to sit down and watch as you were growing up, the memories of you and your mom cooking, you brought those into the family so that you could teach Yvette and her sister how to do that sort of a thing. Did you change any of those recipes?
No, I tried, I think, to do them exactly like my mom used to make them. And because we wanted to preserve her memory and the recipes that the dishes that she used to make. So I think they're almost exactly like the way she used to make them. I'm sure maybe we changed maybe from lard to oil, you know, to make them a little bit healthier. But that's about it. On my mother's recipes, I think that they're about the same as she used to make them.
In changing things like that in order to make a recipe healthy, so to speak, mm-hmm. Do you think that it changes the overall flavor of the item, or do you adapt a certain flavor in order to try to recreate it while it's still trying to keep it within the healthy realm?
I think that it's not very hard to change the, I mean, it's the, you don't change the flavor unless, I guess, maybe the beans, because in the old days they used to make them with the lard, with the morel.
Right.
And now we try to not use morel. We use more of the olive oil. But I think that's about it. Cooking rice, we do a little bit of the oil. But the rest of the recipes, I think we left them almost as she used to make them.
That's neat. That's very special, especially for health conscious people nowadays that want to get back into, you know, back into the kitchen. And instead of having to go out all the time or buying prepared foods all the time, getting back into the kitchen, getting back into making enchiladas and gorditas and refritos y todo, mm-hmm. That's really special.
Yes. It's on those recipes, I think my mother used to make more of the red enchiladas.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started cooking, I think I went into the green. And little by little, I changed it every time that I used to make it to where I have the recipe that's written in the book. But with my mother, it was almost the red enchiladas all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the gorditas, I mean, you can't change those. You have to fry those for them to
right.
taste good.
One of the things that we talked about last year were the stories. I think the stories that revolve around the recipes are always a fascinating thing. Can you ladies share a couple of stories, a couple of holiday stories revolving around some of those recipes to share with our listeners?
Well, when it comes to the holidays, I mean, as everyone in El Paso knows, tamales are our favorites. And so, you know, you can't not make tamales over Christmas. And so we just have the fond memories of seeing our grandma make tamales. And what was known is that was her gift to her family. You know, we didn't grow up with a lot of money. And she, you know, that was her gift to her family. Like Christmas Eve, people would go and pick up their pots of tamales from grandma that she made with love.
That's neat. That's yeah. neat. And Vanji, the same
uh-huh.
thing?
Yes, it's the same thing. I used to... The thing about me, I used to go in there and get some of that chili red, delicious chili on a slice of bread, and I would go in there two or three times until my mother would tell me, stop doing that. You're going to finish the chili before I finish the tamales. But then after she would make a pot of tamales for my, wherever we spent Christmas Eve at. And then for my other sister, too. So then I would ask her, Mom, aren't you going to give me tamales? And she'd say, no, you live here. You can give whatever you want, whenever you want. And I go, okay.
Oh, how cool.
That was fun.
Neat stuff. Well, you're okay. So the next book signing is this coming Saturday, December the 22nd.
Right.
And it's from 2 to 4 at the Bookery?
Right. And so we'll be doing a book signing, a book reading, and there'll also be some muy bueno treats. So it'll be some good yummies for people who come and visit.
And you're sharing the spotlight with another El Paso author, a man by the name of Sergio Troncoso?
Right. Which he actually grew up in the same area that we grew up in. So we are practically neighbors.
Oh, neat. Very nice. Well, gosh, this is great. I'm excited. I'd like to be there on the 22nd in Socorro. That's easy to, it's an easy drive, as they say, because that's also a wonderful place to pick up wonderful gifts like this particular book, Muy Bueno, the cookbook. That's cool.
Thank you. That'd be great.
Well, congratulations, ladies. This is so exciting to see the book finally in fruition. Plus, the website is really up and running quite well, too.
Yes, and that we constantly keep fresh. So that's muybuenocookbook.com. And just yesterday, or actually just today, we just posted cuernitos, which are like another type of Mexican wedding cookie, so perfect for Christmas. So there will be definitely lots of recipes that are on our blog that might necessarily be in the cookbook or vice versa. So the book is great. The blog is great. And if you're ever looking for any type of recipe ideas, you can always check out the blog, too.
Beautiful. And then we can find everybody up on Facebook, también, right?
Oh, yeah. We have our Muy Bueno Facebook page also. So what's fun about that, it's kind of a nice community where we have lots of fans who make our dishes either from our blog or a cookbook and share photos with us of our recipes. So it's neat seeing our recipes in other people's homes. It makes us feel like we're there with them.
Oh, nice. See, I need to get back up on Facebook again. I kind of got fed up with it because of the amount of people that I wound up friending, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
It was just too much.
you don't really know who your friends are.
Well, you know who your friend is here in El Paso. Thank you so much. Mi casa, su casa. So anytime you've got something cooking, literally, in the cookbook and another cookbook coming around, ladies, I'd love to have you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, Merry Christmas, and hope to see you over at the Bookery Saturday, December 22nd from 2 to 4. And have a great time, by all means. And thank you so much for being with us on El Paso Primetime.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you then.
Well, we talked a little bit about a cookbook all about the holidays, Muy Bueno. Now it's time to talk about the Luminarias that's happening actually this evening, starting at 6 o'clock. The preparations have been going on since 5 this morning. But we're lucky to have in our studio Estela Reyes, the Director of Communication to Centro de Salud Familiar La Fe. We're actually taping this on Thursday, so don't think this is smoke and mirrors. But anyway, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Hi, Dennis. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. It's that time of the season again where we present Luminarias, and you guys do it so well on Scenic Drive.
21 years. It's an event that we put heart, soul, sometimes blood, sweat, and tears into. But it is all that entire day spent up on the mountain, often in very cold, sometimes windy conditions. It's all worth it, man. It's such a beautiful event. It's our gift back to the community. I know it sounds a little bit corny sometimes when people hear that, but it's an effort that we have been doing for 21 years now, and it's all done to help El Paso's families in need. And every year, there are more and more families. And sometimes it may feel like it more and more every year. The donations may get a little tougher to come by, but it's all worth it when the evening is over. The cars have finished going through Scenic Drive. We shut down, clean up. Scenic Drive looks like we were never there. And about a day or so later, we've taken all that canned food. We've put it into beautiful baskets. We put big red bows on them, decorate them. And then somebody in need gets a knock on their door. And when we see that smile, it was all worth it.
It's mostly volunteers up on that mountain doing
It's all volunteers.
It's all volunteers.
All volunteers, yeah. It's mostly La Fe staff members. Everybody from our CEO, Salvador Chava Valcorta, down to, our clinic site coordinators, nurses, doctors, our artists, our teachers from our school, our families, our kids, students from our culture center, you name it. We all pile up on the mountain beginning as early as 5 in the morning. That's when the first wave of volunteers hits the mountain. We start at the very top at the summit. at Tom Lee Park, and we start marking along the very ridge of the rim of the mountain. And those X's mark where the Luminatus are going to go. And we've got our system down pat. You know, once those markings go down, then the sand arrives sometime around 7 to 8 a.m. Then everybody's kids jump on that massive pile of sand and start filling those Luminatia bags up. Our exact measure is a big gulp. We've discovered over the years that is the perfect measure for the perfect amount of sand. And then those get loaded onto volunteer pickup trucks. And those trucks start moving down the side of the mountain, wave after wave, and they start getting placed. By noon, the live nativity scene has been built. The guys start decorating it with everything they can get their hands on. Every tumbleweed gets used up.
Yeah.
And by about 4 in the afternoon, all 4,000 luminarias are set. They're just ready to be lit. The volunteers are ready to get into their live nativity scene costumes. Joseph, Mary, the three kings, shepherds, everybody's ready to go. And at 6 o'clock, when we get the signal from the cops that are there to help us out, keep things safe, we get everything going and the show goes on.
Scenic Drive is closed roughly at 5 in the morning all the way through until the bitter end.
That's true. Scenic Drive will officially be completely shut down to all traffic today. So if you're a jogger, a cyclist, you're looking to get to the UTIP graduation events, to any events on the west side and you want to use Scenic as a good way to cut through town, don't. That line is going to be massive and it is going to be very slow because the idea is to cruise slowly up Scenic Drive, heading westward in one lane traffic, lights down low so you can appreciate the amber glow of the luminarias. And unfortunately, every year, you know, there's somebody who didn't catch the news and hear that Scenic Drive is going to be closed for a special event from except for 6 to 10 p.m. And, well, sometimes they get a little not so happy with us. But we hope that, you know, their Christmas spirit remains strong. And, you know, on their way back down the other side of the mountain, they'll drop a couple 20s and, or some cans of canned food and help us out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for those of you who are intent to go to UTEP by way of Alabama, stay on Alabama till it becomes Arizona and Arizona to Murchison, and Murchison will take you pretty much close to UTEP, and then you know how to get to UTEP from that point on. But yeah, it's a wonderful thing. I've been to a couple of them when my mom was alive. We went up and checked out the sites in this
very, it's beautiful.
Very inspiring.
It's beautiful. It's a very serene environment. I mean, Scenic Drive is a beautiful place to be day or night, no matter what time of year. But when you're, you know, getting that Christmas spirit going and you're with family, friends, and you want to enjoy the beauty of El Paso at night from the Scenic Drive area, and you've got 4,000 beautiful soft candles guiding your way, oh, man, that's gorgeous. That's something no other city in the world can claim or take from us. That's something that's pure El Paso. And, the silver lining is you've got, that happy red, suited guy standing up at the top of the mountain with the Christmas music and the live nativity scene and just celebrating and slicing. It's beautiful.
It's really incredible. And you're going to be collecting canned foods at this.
We are looking for all your extra unexpired canned food. So, folks, please, please take some time today. Raid your pantries. Look in every kitchen drawer. If it's canned and it's unexpired, we want it. We need it. Families right now are so, so hurting for healthy, nutritious food. So if you have peanut butter, canned vegetables, green beans, peas, mixed veggies, corn, dried pastas, dried beans, dried rice, canned meats, tunas, chicken or ham spread, cereals. We definitely can use that.
Here's a statistic, Stella, that I don't think our listeners are either wise to or maybe are not privy to. But 1 in 8 Americans total go to bed every night hungry. In this community, that number is 1 in 6, and it crosses all strata. It doesn't matter how or where you live in this community. Your neighbor could be one of those who's pretty much economically stricken and won't tell you. So really and truly, this is the time of year, although every day should be that. This is the time of year when you should be checking on your neighbors, because that's what we do, is take care of our own. And what you guys do with Centro de Salud Familiar La Fe is you help feed a community that otherwise might not have the type of food necessary for the holidays or anything else.
Yeah, you know, I've been with La Fe now for 11 going on 12 years now, and to this day, I will not forget my very first Luminarias that I was a part of. The event itself was so meaningful, so beautiful, so spiritual. But what I will never get out of my heart and my memory, a couple days later, there we were assembling these gorgeous baskets, and companies called us and donated hams and turkeys and more food. And we came up with several hundred baskets. It was an amazing turnout and effort. And that first door that we knocked on, it was an elderly woman living in what is now the Westway, Canutillo area. And she was hurting. She was, at the time, raising several grandkids. Her daughter and the daughter's husband had passed away, tragically. And so she was raising some grandkids, and she was on her own. She was really hurting. And when we knocked on her door, she looked right at us, and she was so stunned to see us and that basket and that food. And all she could keep repeating was, "I didn't think anyone remembered me." And to this day, you know, I ask our staff out there, you know, does anybody, you know how this individual is doing? And they tell me, you know, she's hanging in there. The kids are growing. She's hanging in there. But she remembers that moment that day, too. But something tells us, tells me that as much as it meant to me to be able to do that for her, I'm pretty sure it meant way more to her and those kids, because I remember what was in that basket. I can picture it. I can see it in my head. And even though it was just a couple boxes of cereal, some vegetables, I think one of the local car dealerships had gone out of their way to get their employees to, you know, donate some money and buy some turkeys and help us out. You know, I'm sure that that food was enough just to make that holiday a little bit special, and for those kids to have a few really good, hearty, nutritious meals. And maybe it didn't solve all their problems, but it gave them a little bit of light and a little bit of hope. And that's really what Luminarias are all about. That's the whole meaning behind them. They're supposed to symbolize peace and justice and social justice and harmony in a community. And that's really what we want our gift for the city to be.
Talking about the community who comes together with you to feed the community— companies, car dealerships, individuals. This is an incredible community. This is nothing like everything, like any place I've ever lived in my life. You come back to El Paso and you find a community of people who, quite frankly, learn early on, I guess, that when it's time to feed and take care of their own, they will.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's no way any of us are ever going to solve the world's problems or social ills one day to the next. But whenever you can do something, a little something, to help a brother, a sister, a mother, a friend, a neighbor out, you are making a difference. It's a tiny step, but it's a step. And I think sometimes we look at all the need around us and we think, what can I do? What, you know, how am I going to help? What difference am I going to make? You make a difference. You do. Tiny differences, but you make something happen. And for us to know that when we knock on that door, and I mean, these families aren't expecting us. They don't know. You know, our staff and our crew have spent the entire year building close relationships with our patients and our community members, and building a little mental list of what families in our community, what families, children who come to our clinics across the entire county, who really, really needs that help and who can most benefit, and you know, who can really use that knock on that door and that smile and find a bunch of La Fe crew standing outside, grinning ear to ear and saying Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas, and realizing that, yeah, somebody remembered you.
And all it takes is to just merely get in the car with a bag of unperishables, some canned goods, check out the lights, and do a little donation.
And go cruising.
And go cruising. How simple is that?
It is. You know, I've been up there at the top of that mountain freezing, you know, to my bones. And people will drive up and, you know, they'll have the biggest grins on their faces. They're loving the lights. They're loving the Christmas music. The whole scene is just driving them wild. And they pull up and they will have the entire trunk full of candy. I mean, it's obvious somebody went to Albertsons or I don't know what and just loaded up and then just pulls up next to us and says, "Here, mija, take this and take this and take this."
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And it just makes your heart want to burst. And some folks drive up and you know that they did what they could. They gave you just a few cans. And you know what? That means just as much.
Yeah.
You know, you give what you can. You do what you can whenever you can. And you know that you are making a difference. If for whatever reason you do happen to cruise up to on the mountain to join us or you find yourself caught in that traffic jam up Scenic Drive and you don't happen to have any cans of food with you to donate, well, we will be more than happy to take your cash or checks made out to La Fe. You know, every little bit helps. If for whatever reason you're not able to join us tonight up on the mountain, give us a call as soon as you can. First thing Monday morning, you're more than welcome to call me at my office and let us know if you've got a donation you want to bring by.
Let's go ahead and tell that. Give them your number.
Okay. You can call me. My direct office line is 545-7226 here in El Paso. That's area code 915. My cell phone, I'm putting it out there, is 474-3775. I sleep with that thing next to me. So please give me a call Monday morning because I do want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. You know, if you want to swing by any of our clinics, but if you can make it down to the La Fe Culture and Technology Center in Segundo Barrio, that's where the basket assembly is going to take place. We would really love to see you down there at some point and have you help us out and bring down your donation.
Now, just check the weather forecast for the day, and it looks like partly cloudy skies and hardly a breeze.
Beautiful. Because, man, we've had some years where Mother Nature was not good to us, unfortunately. And you know, we've had to shut down, jump in the car. And yeah, we've had nights where we've had people come up and, you know, tour buses. You know, grandma, grandpa, the cat, the dog are all in the car. It's a beautiful scene. Everybody's out there snapping pictures. We do ask, though, that you stay in your vehicles, turn the lights down if you can to make sure that everybody around you can enjoy the Luminaria lights. You don't want to blind anybody with the glares. And please stay in your vehicles. I know it's very tempting to get out and walk about and take pictures, but vehicles are moving. They're not stopping. And our friends in blue will be patrolling and making sure people are staying in their vehicles. And we want to make sure everyone is safe and enjoying the evening.
Everyone head to Scenic Drive from Richmond westward to Rim Road and check out the scenes. Estela Reyes has been our guest on El Paso Primetime. Mi casa, su casa, anytime.
Ditto. Thank you.
El Paso Primetime is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso. All rights reserved to 2012 by KTEP and the University Board of Regents. Until next time, I'm Dennis Wu. Have a happy holiday, happy Hanukkah as it wraps up tomorrow evening. And stay tuned. Louis Sines is next with Perspectives. Have a great weekend.